There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this little Friday. I'm glad to have you along. And it's live local talk over the next couple of hours. You and I, phone number 343-0106. Same for the text, 343-0106. And looking at some issues right now. Traffic backed up. Shouldn't be a surprise, but I-10 eastbound backed up heading into the Wallace Tunnel. And now you'd have the normal traffic, and then you have all those folks that are heading back, those that evacuated from the Florida Panhandle, heading back today, trying to get back in and see what their situation is at their homes, at their businesses, to try to pick up the pieces, or hopefully maybe get back and find out that everything's good with their place, but that is part of the traffic day. I think I'm hearing a lot of Alabama plates, but a lot of Florida plates in the mix as well. And we'll keep our eyes on this traffic-wise throughout the next couple of hours. But I-10 eastbound, slow to go going into the Wallace Tunnel should be expected. Also, I have several people asking, what's the smoke issue there in Saraland? I don't know. I've seen people asking. I have not seen an account of what that smoky haze over Saraland. Don't know what that is. It's really not the time of year that you'd be having controlled burns. So I don't. And can somebody tell me? They say smoky. Is it? Does it look like? Is it white smoke? Is it black smoke? No, we're not trying to figure out if we have a new pope or not. I'm just trying to figure out what might be on fire. If y'all have some information on that, you can pass along through the text line as well. But several people asking what that is. I do not have a report on that, Dalton. If we can look Mobile Fire Rescue or Saraland PD, if y'all have some info on it to let us know, please do. All right, so we're watching those and mentioning a couple things here with the evacuees heading back to their homes in Florida. If you have gotten a chance to, if you've gotten a chance to watch the video that I posted up on our Facebook page just a little bit ago, if you've watched it, then you're like me, your jaw is on the floor. Mexico Beach, landfall location for Hurricane Michael. Remember yesterday talking about it and saying, listen, stick-built homes don't stand much of a chance against, obviously, the storm surge issue, but then straight-line winds at 150-some-odd miles an hour. And you can see this video of Mexico Beach. We posted up on our Facebook page a flyover here. This is done by weather-chasing crew, Josh Benson, I think, weather-chasing crew. And you can see just big sections, like neighborhoods worth of the area in Mexico Beach where you're looking at the driveway. You know, the driveway, you could see where the house was before. That's about it. Now, there are buildings that are standing, and buildings that are standing, they're damaged. Buildings, you can't tell if they're damaged, but there are swaths. You're just looking down a street, and the homes aren't there. So it's a big recovery effort, of course, going on in the panhandle. We have our crews from Alabama working over there. I know inside the state of Alabama, crews from, Baldwin EMC working up in Dothan, which that's one of the untold stories so far, the damage up there in Dothan. Dothan's mayor said, we have been part of an unprecedented catastrophic event. I'm talking about the number of trees down there. Listen to this. You know, Dalton and I this morning, we talked about how much strength Michael had as Hurricane Michael was well off the coast, was moving inland. At least according to the story from the Dothan Eagle, said the fury of Hurricane Michael hit the Wiregrass late Wednesday afternoon, less than an hour before the eye of the storm passed near Gordon in Houston County as a Category 3 hurricane. It was still a 3 when it was passing Dothan. Storm felled hundreds of trees, caused thousands to go without power, and led to flash flooding in several areas. Wind gusts were reported near 90 miles per hour on the east side of the eye and more than 60 miles per hour on the west side. It could take days for the full extent of damage to be known, but it appears Hurricane Michael is the most powerful storm to hit Houston County in recorded history. Of course, you know, we're talking about just north of the Florida line there in southeast Alabama. But yeah, they have a big bunch of damage up there. Dothan Fire Chief Larry Williams said crew members performed 22 rescues during the storm. There's no definitive number of injuries in the area yet. More than 24,000 were without power in Dothan, and 17,500 additional Wiregrass Electric Cooperative customers. So that's up in Dothan where they've had that damage. You've seen the damage in areas of Georgia now. But of course, you have the big issues down on the coast where places like Mexico Beach and Panama City and Apalachicola really absolutely took it on the chin. And so there's going to be a long recovery. And I think this is interesting, too. A clip here from this morning, Marco Rubio, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, was being interviewed about the damage in the panhandle. And this is telling, as he says, hey, this is not about patching things up, putting things back together. It's about starting from the word go. Here is Marco Rubio.
This is not one of these things that we're going to scoop up and pick up and turn this around in 48 hours. I mean, this is going to take, this is a multi-year recovery effort. We got to rebuild the electric grid. This is not restoring power. This is, from what I'm hearing this morning from Panama City, they have to rebuild the electric grid based on some of the damage that's been described to me.
Now, how about that? It's not about getting the power turned back on in some areas. It is about rebuilding the electric grid in Panama City and areas around there. That's kind of, when you see that video we posted up on our Facebook page, you'll see what I'm talking about, that video from Mexico Beach. All right, let's see. A lot of smoke now in downtown Mobile. I'm just guessing if from Saraland, we're dealing with the north wind today, right? You feel how nice it is outside. So even without looking at the weather gauge, without the weather sock that we don't have in the parking lot, but it'd be fun to have a weather sock in the parking lot. I tell you, it's a north wind, so whatever smoke they were talking about in Saraland is now over downtown, according to texters here. A white smoke, okay. Well, that tells us not a tar fire, right? What? No, tire fire, right? Tar fire. Okay, now somebody say, okay, Jim, thank you. He said it's wood smoke. So Jim's out there. He says wood smoke. I don't know if it's control burn up Celeste Road, north of Radcliffe Road. So it's coming from that area. I wouldn't imagine. I mean, it's really an odd month to do a control burn in the forest. I mean, this October is not a big control burn month. Now somebody else texts her saying, what's up with the smoke over Gulf Shores? Oh, wait, that's just some kids at the condo next door.
I can't find exactly what the smoke is from, but Saraland Fire Rescue Department on their Facebook page 33 minutes ago said, we've had several complaints about smoke in the Saraland area. It appears to be north of the Salco Road area, and the wind is pushing it towards Saraland. And no comment explains what it is underneath that, but Mobile Traffic, who we comment about often on here, commented there, per radar, it looks to be coming from the Mobile-Washington County line just northeast of Citronelle.
Northeast of Citronelle. Okay, so because there's a big disparity between there. Salco Road cuts off of 43, goes from 43 to Celeste Road. Salco would be, if you're coming up 43, would Salco, once you get out of, you're out of access, it's your first traffic light. I think that's Salco. Or is that Radcliffe? Oh, no, Salco doesn't have a traffic light. So it's after that. It's after Radcliffe. It's going to be that next left turn, Clyde. You make the one that takes you back across the train tracks, past the Water Board's property, and back to Celeste Road. So connecting 43 and Celeste. And then this other report you said is saying that the fire is northeast of Citronelle.
Correct.
Okay, so there's a pretty big span of mileage between those two places. If you'd be northeast of Citronelle, you could be 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 miles. But I mean, it could be in some area that would be north of Celeste Road, west of Highway 43, and east of Highway 45. Basically, what I'm hearing, that kind of defines.
I'm going to keep looking. I'm sure we'll get an answer on this soon, because you just mentioned control burn. I'm sure
you can check. I tell you what, you can check if you want to find out if somebody's doing it registered. If you'll go, I don't know. Hey, let's just do production of the show live on there, stretching from Mississippi to Florida and up into the interior. The Alabama Forestry
Okay.
Department, Because you have to call in when you do control burns. You have to call in and say, which is often a nervous moment for whoever's in charge of the fire. You have to put yourself on notice and say, they'll say, who's responsible for the control burn? And that's when I often say, my name is Dalton Orwig.
Right. Yeah. You want to say that before, not after the fire.
That's right. So if there is a control burn, but this is a very weird time of year to be doing control burns. It's like not normal. If it is, Alabama Forestry will have a notice of somebody doing a burn in that area. And we'll dig more on that, try to get you an answer. Because we're now, I mean, people in downtown say they're seeing the smoke. And now we're getting people as far up as Salco Road seeing the smoke. So we'll try to get to the bottom of that. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Is this this is live, or just can we go to the audio here? Kanye West, President Trump, meeting at the White House. Let's go to it.
Does not help the relationships in the city. And everyone that knew I was coming here said, ask about stop and frisk. That's the number one thing that we're having this conversation about.
Okay, Dalton, you're telling me that they're saying that there's cursing going on. There's no cursing going on. In the White House, there's cursing going on? I mean, wait. Now, this is, if I would like to get to hear the President of the United States talk, I should not have to worry about having a dump my dump button pressed.
Right. Well, you know, with the other guy in the room, you might have to, because I saw, you know, the WKRG alerts come up on your phone,
mm-hmm.
and I was surprised because it said Kanye West speaking in the Oval Office with Donald Trump, but it led in with NSFW, expletive language.
Not safe for work, right.
Right, yeah. And I've been checking to see what exactly was not safe for work because I wasn't able to listen in on it, but right. I had to pass it along to you.
I was taking the raw audio, and while, believe it or not, y'all, they can get away with things on cable channels like Fox News that we can't.
Right. So, and I don't know what exactly was not safe for work. Maybe just the two of them in the room together. They don't even have to cuss. That's just not safe for work. But I'll check to make sure before we roll on that audio, because no telling what is being said.
All right. So let's thank you, Dalton, for the words of the wise there. I mean, I guess usually when you say, oh, here's a feed of audio from the White House, y'all called me old fashioned. Call me old-fashioned, but when I see here's a live stream of audio from the White House coming up, when you're in a control room, you have different patches and things you can go to, and when I have that, if it says live from the White House, you know, like a planned event, should I have to worry? Is there something changed in this world that I should have to worry about the content of me patching that through onto a licensed broadcast facility? I mean, really? Wow. So I guess what we'll do here is we'll roll on the audio. And Dalton, I know you're going to do that. Roll on the audio. We'll make the edits necessary here, and then we'll go with it.
Okay, I have found the expletive. So
yeah, but is it the needle in the haystack? Is it certain? I mean, you
it's about
it's a one time.
Yeah, one time. So 26 minutes ago, Kanye said, okay, Trump may not have expected
be careful.
A crazy
yeah.
blank blank.
Oh,
like Kanye West would support him.
Okay.
So that's what Kanye said. That might be the only not safe for work term
might
been used. But yeah,
wait. Might.
Might. I mean, I can go through some more of the things that he
said.
Yeah,
I think
like
probably. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, if you have if you have the text there and you could read through it, but I mean, if that's just a might, I don't know if I'm going to go to the raw audio.
Yeah, it looks like he told Trump, because Kanye is wearing his Make America Great Again hat.
Yep.
And he's got quite the audience there in the Oval Office, but he told Trump about the hat, you made a Superman cape for me, because he feels like the Make America Great Again hat is a Superman cape. Mm-hmm. Zeke Miller is a White House reporter. He put that Kanye uses his Oval Office meeting with Trump to plug his financial ties with Adidas, because he has a big shoe deal with Adidas. He also pitches Trump on the, quote, iPlane 1, a hydrogen-powered plane that he wants Trump to fly as Air Force One and wants Apple to help him develop. So that's kind of what's going on right now in the...
But I want to hear all that stuff, but I don't want any cursing or goings-on. So we're going to have to go through the audio then.
Yeah, we'll have to go through...
But do you understand my lament?
Yeah.
I'm not... How many times y'all hear me? I don't do a lot of... Y'all remember when radio... There's a lot of people who do that, and that's good. That's fine. I don't do a lot of that. But y'all remember when... you could take a feed from a White House presser and not worry about having something go over the radio. That,
squeaky clean, usually.
I mean, if you... Now let's go live to the White House. As many times as I've gone live to the White House in my radio career, I've never said, let's go live to the White House unless we have to dump out of something that is said at the White House.
Yeah, it's never happened before, I don't think.
Times have changed.
Yeah, and just, I mean...
All right, so we'll see if we can clean this up, make sure it's
okay.
And I'd
like to say, I don't know if Kid Rock has been in yet. I'd like to say that would be even more clean, but it...
Kid... wait. Kid Rock would be more clean?
I mean, between Kid Rock and Kanye, I'm not
sure.
Should
we roll some Kid... No, we can't roll some Kid Rock.
Who would you need to have a faster dump button for? Kid Rock, President Trump, or Kanye West?
I would say...
I think Kid Rock, probably.
I would say Trump, but he know if he was pre-being the president. He's president now.
He has no issue.
No, he has no issue.
As far as I can remember.
I mean, I think there's something to be said for New Yorkers. I don't think they even know when they're cursing.
No. It's okay? Just part of the language.
Right. I mean, I've heard them curse when they're, and you're like, hey, did you just, I didn't even know I said that. But I think President Trump has trained himself not to do that. I would say rapping style, Kid Rock raps faster sometimes than Kanye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So there's a chance he could slip in something we needed to dump before Kanye. it's a sad day that we have to start worrying about if we take a feed from the White House, whether we're going to have to dump out. So
one more quote before I leave you. Kanye, after going through a big Kanye speech, he goes through a lot of things when he talks.
Yes.
But he was talking about his own speech. He said, "You're tasting a fine wine. It has complex notes to it."
Okay.
Speaking about his own...
Himself.
About himself.
Because you want to talk about a fascinating situation there. And I hope we do get the audio in a little bit, because a group of people that like to talk about themselves, there might be a talk about themselves off going on.
Yeah, I'm going to go back, if we can't get it on here, I'm going to go back and listen to this entire thing, for sure.
Oh, yeah, we've got it. Yeah, let's get it and clean up the audio and make sure we can run it and run some of this.
And Mobile Traffic finally has an answer for us on that smoke.
Okay, good.
Mobile AL Traffic on Twitter says, "What's with all that smoke? Looks like a controlled burn in Washington County just northeast of Citronelle."
Okay, which, by the way, Thomas had called in earlier. Prescribed burn and controlled burn are interchangeable still, so you can use both. But it may be... They're saying control burn, this is not a normal time to do that. If this was January, February, March, April, even into late April, I would say that's what was going on. But Ryan suggests on the text line, and for some reason, just in the way his text is, I think Ryan probably has some forestry knowledge here, said it's possible the fire could be a site prep burn. So before you go in and plant, what he's talking about, you could burn down, you might have burned it down with chemicals beforehand. Which, by the way, my Roundup story nobody cared about. It's back in the news now.
Right, back in the news.
Yeah, just letting y'all know that they burn the site down with that, and then you come in, of course, and burn up. You can stump. You can do things to burn. In other words, to get the area cleaned up and ready for seedlings to go in for a new plant for pine trees. By the way, I just saw Kanye hug the president. So. All right, so Mobile AL Traffic is saying...
They believe it's a control burn in Washington County just northeast of Citronelle. So I'll try to get some confirmation on that, and I'll come back with news.
All right, very good. Thank you, Dalton, checking in. And I wish we could have... Thank you for saving me from myself, Dalton. I mean, I was just old-fashioned and silly enough to say, well, maybe I could go straight to the White House audio feed and not be worried about it. But Dalton said, be careful. So I do appreciate that. All right. Hey, coming up on the show today, Sheriff Sam Cochran is going to join us in hour number two of the show. It's Ask the Sheriff. Remember, we do this once a month. So you got questions for the sheriff. It could be something specific about law enforcement here in Mobile County. It could be a bigger subject about law enforcement, what they're doing. Get those questions texted in to 343-0106, 343-0106, and I'll get those asked during the first half of the 1 o'clock hour. Also, we'll talk about what went on Dauphin Island the last couple days. Wild, the situation down there, even without... It's not a glancing blow. It's a non-blow to Dauphin Island from Hurricane Michael, but the flooding they saw down there. Plus, things are better and beautiful down there for this weekend, and they also have a way for you to get your arts fix and go see some of the arts out there while enjoying Dauphin Island on what's going to be a beautiful weekend. We'll do that next hour. And coming up after the break, this is going to be an event happening tomorrow. And it's you'll hear, you'll say, well, that's for law enforcement only. But maybe it's for more of us as well, as there's an event happening, Officer and Victim Safety Training, Assessing and Understanding the Lethality of Domestic Violence. Mobile County Domestic Violence Task Force and the Alabama Coalition Against Domestic Violence are presenting a free training going on with Steve Searcy. Lieutenant Steve Searcy, a speaker, law enforcement training coordinator, Alabama Coalition Against Domestic Violence, former director of the Family Justice Center, and a lot to talk about with them. The deadliest call for law enforcement is domestic violence, and we'll talk more about that when we come back. Also, our buddy Panini Pete is going to join us as well, because remember the guys that were on the show, let's see, 10 days ago or so, the Row or Die, remember the veterans that are taking part in that challenge of rowing across the Atlantic? Remember they came in and talked about it. They've been training here in Mobile. Now they've shipped their boat over to Spain to get ready for the December 12th back across the Atlantic trip. Well, there's a benefit coming up tomorrow, raising money for them. We'll talk more about that with Panini Pete here in just a little bit. So lots going on right here on Midday Mobile. And of course, text and calls 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, 12:37. Dr. Bill has nice weather laid out for us for the next few days. Really, for the next 4 or 5 days. I guess that is the silver lining of the cloud that was very strong. Hurricane Michael, that is slated, by the way, not only to go back out into back out over open water, in this case the Atlantic, then by Monday, supposedly finding itself off the coast of France, English Channel area. Unbelievable. All right, mentioned this before we went to the break, an event right here at home. As we've talked about in the past, October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And part of this discussion is law enforcement and law enforcement dealing with domestic violence. And joining us now, Steve Searcy, retired lieutenant, to talk more about an event happening right here in Mobile. Thank you for your time. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, what is the Officer and Victim Safety Training? Talk to me about this event that's going on today and tomorrow.
It's going on at the First United Methodist Church on Dolphin Way, and I'm going to be conducting a training in regards to officer and victim safety and giving them information on how to keep alive one more day on these dangerous emotional charged domestic violence calls.
Yeah, the stats show, and obviously with all your years of experience here, you can describe, you can, I guess, put the meat behind the stats, but the statistics say domestic violence calls lead to more police fatalities than any other type of call.
That's exactly right. More law enforcement officers are killed in the South than any other area of the United States, and female victims of domestic violence are the same way, so they're in a very unique fraternity.
Why is it the deadliest? I mean, is there one reason, or is it a basket full of reasons?
Basket full of reasons. You have emotionally charged call with firearms and alcohol, and people don't understand that when people shift and go into an expressive mode behavior where they feel like if they have no other way to regain control than to use violence, then it turns deadly for everyone.
And now you've obviously dealt with this a bunch as commander of the Montgomery Police Department Domestic Violence Bureau, investigator with Montgomery County District Attorney's Office, former director of the Family Justice Center in Montgomery, and law enforcement training coordinator with the Alabama Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So you've seen it through your own eyes, and obviously experience of those that you have talked to. But is there a way for an officer to go into a domestic violence situation and protect themselves from those possibilities? Is it something that is equipment? Is it mindset? Steve, what does it? How does an officer protect themselves?
Well, it's two or three things, in my opinion. It's mindset, it's experience, and it's mental preparation before they go into the call. And we give them about a 15-item checklist called a lethality assessment. And, of course, there's no magic formula to determine if someone's going to be a high risk of suicide or homicide. But this 15-point checklist gives them things to look at prior to them engaging the offender.
You mentioned that about emotional state and all that. I wonder, Steve, is that that the motivation would be different? Like if you go after the bank robber wants to get away, right? If you go after you make some assumptions about some other kind of criminal activity that maybe you can't make about this.
Well, most criminal activity that law enforcement officers respond to is a single event, a burglary, a theft, or a robbery, or a bank robbery, as you spoke of. Domestic violence is a crime in progress. It has a beginning, and a middle, and a catastrophic end. And law enforcement officers jump into it somewhere along the way, and they've got to be able to identify in what stage it's in. And the most dangerous stage for everyone, the victim and the officer and anyone that might be involved, is when the victim decides to leave. And 85% of the victims are killed attempting to leave the relationship.
Wow. Wow. When law enforcement arrives in a situation like that, also just having watched law enforcement TV shows, right? I mean, this is what a lot of our experience is through shows like Cops and all that, that I've seen a situation where law enforcement's called out because of a domestic issue there, and it's at some point, both sides seem to turn on the officer as well. I mean, in a confused kind of way.
Well, law enforcement officers have to understand that the victim has to present one way to the offender before they arrive, and then when they arrive on the scene, they have to present another in a lot of cases because their survival depends on it. And probably the best hostage negotiators are domestic violence victims because they're negotiating their freedom, their safety every day to survive. So they have to present a certain way in front of that law enforcement officer that they're on the offender side rather than law enforcement officer side to survive.
Wow. If people want to, let's talk about coming out to Dolphin Way United Methodist and getting this training, getting this seminar with you. You said today, and what about tomorrow? And do we need to sign up? How does this work?
Yeah, that they can go ahead and sign up ahead of time through contacting Penelope House or they can just walk in. We have no restriction on people just walking in, and we feel the message that we need to get out is life-saving. And just like with the officer here in Mobile that was killed.
Yeah, Justin Billa, that was a domestic situation.
Exactly, exactly. Numerous law enforcement officers are killed every day across the United States responding to domestic calls. So this is critical information we need to get out to them.
And I wonder if with this training, I mean, obviously, we want those numbers to come down. And if this training becomes, is there a protocol? Is there like a national training? I mean, you know, what you're doing is helping out in the places you are. You're here in Mobile, thank goodness, helping out. But is there a national training regimen or something for dealing with domestic violence and law enforcement stepping in?
Oh, yes. There's multiple sites that they can go to. They can go to the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the Sheriff's Association. Most all law enforcement agencies now have specific protocols and information to give to their officers about how to respond to domestic violence.
We appreciate your time and what you're doing here, Steve, and thank you for joining us today on Midday Mobile.
Well, thank you for having me, and I've seen it come full circle from where we very little, and we didn't have any domestic violence shelters like Penelope House to send them to. So it's so great you've got a coordinated effort with the media and Penelope House and law enforcement all working together.
I agree wholeheartedly. Steve, Cersei, thank you very much. We'll put that information up there on our Facebook page. You can get more info there or just reach out directly to Penelope House, and we have contact info as well. Give you the phone number down there, or you just, if you Google Penelope House, you'll find out more. Of course, October, National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and this is just part of the process here, is keeping law enforcement safe around this. All right, 1245 FM Talk 106.5, coming right back. Panini Pete joins me. We're talking about an event coming up to benefit the Row or Die team, some veterans rowing their way on purpose across the Atlantic.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. You know, it was just about a week or so, or a week and change ago, had the team from Fight or Die who were training for their row, I would say paddle, but they're row across the Atlantic here in our area. They were working at the Buccaneer Yacht Club. Then they said the next step, of course, is to get the boat sent across. I say boat because I guess if you row it, it's a boat, over to Spain, where they're going to do this. They're going to paddle their way back to the United States, an all-veterans team doing this. And really, I'm excited about it. I told you that they're coming back on with us in early December before they leave December 12th and talk about getting ready, and then we'll check in with them throughout that process. But you got a chance to help them and a lot of other charities out coming up tomorrow night out at Ed's on the Causeway. And it's great to have Panini Pete in the studio. Woo-hoo. A man who is of international social media, television fame, culinary fame, and first time in studio with us on Midday Mobile. Thanks for stopping by.
Good to be here, Sean. Thanks for having me, brother.
It's good. I need to get you back here, get you here often. I know you're busy with the restaurant, but it's good that you came in because you've got a cool event coming up tomorrow night, and working with several charities here to give us a fun time and help out at the same time. So I get to have beer and oysters and then do good things for local charities?
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm in.
What's not to love?
I'm in. So tell me how this works.
Man, we're really excited. This is our first annual craft beer and oyster bash over at Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway.
Okay.
And the foundation that I started last year with my good buddy Robert Kabakoff, called the PR Foundation, we work with military charities, no-kill animal shelters, and special needs folks.
Fantastic. You know,
which is all stuff that's been near and dear.
Right.
Well, the guys from Fight or Die came by for lunch last week, and I was blown away. So I said, what can I do to help? So we have this huge event. We're going to have some celebrities there, great appearances, buck a shuck oysters, and all that money's going towards the Fight or Die team. We also teamed up with Serta's Brewing, and he created this Scrappy IPA for it. And Scrappy is the name of my buddy Robert's adopted dog.
So John made y'all a beer specifically
brew just for us.
Well,
he's
going
to be selling it at the tasting room. He's going to be selling it. We're going to sell it at Ed's as well as Sunset Point.
Okay.
So we're donating a portion of the sales back to ARF. He's got the big, the Wolf Stock coming up.
Right,
we're going to donate a check via that. And then also in Fairhope, you know, a portion of those sales from Sunset Point will go to the Haven down there. So it's going to be a great event, a lot of fun, chaos.
Right.
Great seafood, great beer, great oysters.
Okay, I'm in. So so this is tomorrow night, 6:30. Do I have to, if I'm coming out, do I have to get tickets in advance? How do I do this?
You have to know the secret handshake and the password.
Okay.
No.
I'm just writing this down.
We're open for regular business. Obviously, we'll have part of the deck and everything put aside. So just come on down. There's no admission. There's no cover. We just hope you can support the causes. We're going to have one of the oarsmen from the Fight or Die there talking about what they're doing. So it'll be a great opportunity to really help out a neat cause. And these guys are rowing a boat across the Atlantic.
You and I talk about that. I mean, they were on the show, and people can go back and listen to the podcast, but the quick version of this is, on purpose, they're rowing across the Atlantic.
It's not like a prison sentence or anything. They're choosing to do this.
They didn't get dropped off a cruise ship, and they're having to row their way. They are, by choice and in a serious way, bring attention to issues affecting our veterans coming back home. They're rowing a boat across the Atlantic.
Yeah, they are, like you said, for great reasons. You know, they all serve themselves, and there's a lot of their fellow soldiers and sailors coming back with PTSD.
Yeah. PTSD, yeah.
PTSD, sorry, I got the initials wrong. But that's a huge problem, and a lot of guys have trouble dealing with that. So one way to bring tremendous awareness and say, man, why the heck would you guys do this? Well, we're raising money. So here, let me give you some money. And, you know, I saw the vessel there. I talked to the guys, and they immediately became the beneficiary of our charity for that event. And I think it's just a great cause.
Yeah, man.
And what they're doing, I mean, it's going to take them like over a month or something, isn't it?
Well, of course, they came in here full of and vinegar, and told me they would set the. I think the record was 32. It was either 33 or 32 days, and they said they were either going to do it in 32 or 31. So
I'm not surprised. They're focused, man. They're geared. I got on the boat and said, you know what? Maybe I ought to get in on this. And
yeah, how'd that work?
Fell out of. They had these little seats on rollers for rowing.
Right.
I fell on my butt. I think I pulled a hamstring and a fat globule in my stomach, so I tapped out, called 911.
You said, okay, here's what I'm going to do for the team. I'm going to stay here on land, and we're going to do this oyster and beer bash.
Yeah, so we're fired up. It's going to be a fun event. You know, we took over Ed's a year ago.
Right.
This weekend. So
oh, really? I didn't know it was that. Okay.
It's really a special weekend for us, and you know, we're really paying homage to the classics there, and we also have some great new stuff, and the energy's going to be awesome. The facility's awesome. All the fun that we're going to be having, and to raise money for a good cause. It's very rare you can come out, and I mean, we're going to do the Buck of Shuck oysters, and that's all going to them. We're, you know, Ed's and PR Foundation is underwriting all that. So your
fantastic
dollar, you know, if we sell 1,000 oysters, then they're getting $1,000.
Okay,
know?
I can help you with that. You've never seen me at work on this, but I can help you with that. Hey, talk to me about a side note here with what you do and the food scene. How are oysters looking right now?
They're good. You know, they're good. There's certain areas that are up and down. I was talking to my buddy over at Alligator Harbor. He's got a bunch in Apalachicola. They're dropping everything down now to get
right.
It down on the ground, so hopefully the hurricane won't tear it up.
Right.
And they also had a really good harvest, but they also did what they call, they have some, what are they, diplods and tripods or something. They have the breeders, and then they have
engineered
ones coming from Auburn, and they wanted to do some breeders to help kind of give back to the stock, and there's a lot more trickiness to that. But the oysters have been great, you know.
Because October's one of those months.
Yeah.
I'm like an oyster fan,
uh-huh.
And, you know, it's salty and cool waters, you know, those combinations, and you get October oysters are great.
I feel like that's a great time. You know, the old months with an R, obviously, back when oysters were really in vogue, the first wave, you know, with transportation and storage, you know, you wanted to stay away from them in the warmer months.
Right,
now,
right.
They're still delicious.
Right, yes.
They're still great. They do tend to be a little more plump and fatty. So mm-hmm. The winter months, the cooler months are still better.
Yeah.
But year round, we get delicious oysters. The farmers that are doing the farm raise around here now at Murder Point, Point of Ponds,
yeah.
Some of these guys, woo, they are some good, sexy oysters.
They
man.
Are fantastic. Which, by the way, they haven't, none of those oyster farmers, aquaculture folks, have been on the show in like a year and a half. So if y'all want to come back and bring oysters, I'm here. I will sample them once again like we've done in the past. Folks can come out tomorrow night. Oyster and Beer Bash, Buck of Shuck, PR Foundation. Once again, who benefits?
We are going to benefit the Fight or Die, and we're also going to be benefiting ARF here in Mobile and the Hate. Well, ARF and Mobile for the event
right.
Tomorrow night.
All right. And as I do have to get you back. You're like a bigger-than-life part of the food scene here. So, and it's, you know, watch what you do. I watch what you do through social media and on television. And I don't know why I haven't had you on the show before.
I've been stalking you on social media for a long time, too, hoping I'd get the invite.
Well, hey, man, you've got the
and
invite.
And here I am.
I got the invite, absolutely. And I'll come out and see if I can flex my oyster-eating muscle and that fat globule tomorrow
get
night.
It, man. Get it.
All right. Great stuff. Panini Pete, thank you.
Come and see us down at Ed's.
Will do. We'll post this information up on our Facebook page. You can check it out right there at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter as well. And we'll be right back.